talking in terms that glorify God, somebody say amen, than we do in terms that lift up the devil. I think the church needs to stop talking about how bad it is and learn to glorify God in the midst of the storm. Because you see a God who cannot carry me in the storm is not a God I need. Because the storms will come anyhow. My hope is not just because times are good. My hope is even in the bad times, I have a shelter in the midst of the storms of life. Come on, give God a hand clap in this house. Listen. And when we only read the tweets and not understand that the little words or a few little explanations are sometimes used to stampede us. It just depends on who you listen to and who writes the story and what the intent of the story is, what the intent of the video is that is produced to get the results that it wants to get. I think the glory is in the details. Because people of God need to understand that oftentimes what we see right now is only the beginning. Oh, come on, y'all. It is only the beginning. And because it is only the beginning, you need to sit down, sip some Kool-Aid, and get in your rocking chair and wait for the end. Mark dedicates this whole 13th chapter of the sayings about Jesus to watchfulness. I need to be observant and to pay attention to what is going on around us. Our lives should not be lived in happenstance, in fits and starts. But our lives ought to be planned in such a way that no matter what is going on, we know where we are going. So many congregations and so many people in their lives only live for the moment. Instead of realizing that God created us to live for eternity. Oh, come on, y'all. And if God created us to live for eternity, do you not know that God has gone ahead of us and already prepared eternity to receive us? Listen. Just listen. The rumblings that we hear around us are oftentimes done. I'm from Texas originally, even though my mother is from the great state of Mississippi. Amen. Yeah. Mississippi decided to send my mama there to Texas to meet my daddy so they one day would have the great honor of welcoming me back home. Amen. One of the things I learned in Texas was the fact that you can have a great herd of cows out on the range. And those cows can be enjoying grazing on wonderful grass. And noise can come up. Not noise that could hurt them, but because they don't know it, because they think it is a threat, they can take off running and get scattered. And then all of the cowboys will have to get together and try and calm Somebody say calm. The herd. Oh, bless his name. What is going on in the church today is an effort on behalf of those who are the enemies of righteousness and goodness to try and scatter the herd. Oh, y'all need to hear this. Y'all need to hear this. And a lot of what we call ourselves fighting is nothing but shadow boxing. Because the real battle is not what we are fighting. It is a distraction to keep our eyes off of the real destination that God wants us to be diligent about, keeping our eyes on the prize. And the prize is pleasing Jesus in our walk and understanding that the mission is not our mission, it's God's mission. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise in this house. And as long as I can keep you looking over here instead of staying focused and walk in this direction, then I can keep you from doing what it is God wants you to do. So Mark wants us to be watchful. One writer puts it this way: a shallow mind is a sin against God, whose command is to love him with not only our heart, but with our intellect as well. It's not enough. I know you see me getting all excited and emotional, but don't let that fool you. Mr. Swanson ain't nobody fool. I watch. I told you earlier, Orlee Simmons was right. I'm nosy. I may not say anything about what's going on. I'm not quick to put out a blog. I don't write a whole lot of articles because I don't want you to know what I'm thinking all the time. I don't make the mistake that Joseph made in telling his dream. You see, sometimes you can tell your dream to the wrong people and you get sold into slavery. Oh, y'all better talk to me up in here. Sometimes we talk too much. We got to learn to be quiet and keep our eyes on the prize. What if the church got quiet in the midst of this storm and just did what God wanted us to do, and the proof would be in the pudding? Come on, give God a hand in here. Jesus warns us of the danger of passing through life with a nonchalant attitude, as if we are in control of every aspect of our existence and our circumstances. God is speaking through the actions and even lack of actions in this world. Therefore, take heed, because something new is trying to break in. You can deny it all you want to. I know some of you are even like me, because I have my moments of nostalgia. Yeah, even bishops, amen. Long for the good old days. Yeah, and please, when everybody start talking about the good old days, I go back to Houston, you know? But then I start thinking about, especially in the summertime, no air conditioning. Even at night. Yeah. And at nighttime, we had to let the windows up in the church. And the mosquitoes came in like dive bombers. Everybody want to go back? To the good? Go on back. But go back without, no, go back without me. I don't want that. You see, every time we start talking about the good old days, you forget about the good old days when the ladies bought the stockings and the pews you sit on. By the time you got home, your stockings were more holy than you were. Amen. You want to go back? See, I don't think God is trying to take the church back. I think God is trying to take the church forward into a brand new future that is greater than anything we have ever seen before. Give him a hand clap of praise. Whoa! Bless his name. Now, quickly, before you get tired of me, let me run here. What is it that is kind of blocking us? Well, I think here, notice in this text how the disciples begin to question Jesus. Tell us, when will these things happen? Jesus never answers them. Did you notice that? He never answers them. One of the reasons Jesus doesn't answer them is because Jesus knows that what happens with us is we have a propensity to get too busy majoring in the minors. Or what I also call developing our own agendas. Too focused on our way, our understanding, our position, rather than looking for signs that point us in the direction in which God is going. Look, can I just say this? This thing is so new that you and I must finally fall on our knees and say, Lord, show me. Because if it's new, can't guess what? You and I have never seen it before. Can we be honest about that? Now, I as a televangelist preacher who comes on TV all the time, and he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a scripture, isn't that right? That's in the Bible. It's amazing to me how folk want to quote the Bible until it hits them. Now, if the church is going to walk by faith, then the church has got to learn to trust the future to him who holds the future. Come on, y'all. There is something that God is up to. I don't know what it is. My job is to remain faithful to what I know to be true and let God lead me forward. And when God tells me to move, I move. But you and I are so busy trying to predict a future that we don't know anything at all about, that we cannot enjoy the fruit that God is trying to give us. Oh, my God. So all we do is we back up and keep doing what we've been doing and what we've been doing and what we've been doing. And then we overwork our preachers, Lord have mercy, and we almost kill them. And then when they don't work like they're supposed to work, you call me, amen. And say, give us another workhorse. I don't know. And I know you don't like hearing that from a bishop, because we're supposed to know. And then we bishops fall into the same trap. And then we start acting like we know. And we put together all kind of committees and everything. Now, and you can put this in there, Heather. I know you're sitting over there. The Thomas Watson report told us what was wrong with our church. It said that the number one problem with our church was trust. That you don't trust me. I don't trust the superintendents. Superintendents don't trust the pastor. Pastors don't trust the church. PPR committee don't trust the church. PPR committee don't trust the pastor. Nobody trusts anybody. The dog don't trust you to give him the right dog food. The cat don't trust you to give him the right meow mix. The poor mouse is in trouble because he's on the end of the totem pole. Everybody in trouble. Nobody trusts anybody. And how did we respond? We put together a plan to reorganize the church. Oh, my God. That's how we responded. The last time I checked, the only way you can build trust is for me to get to know you and for you to get to know me so we can walk together, little children. Walk together, and then I can learn that there's nothing wrong with you except the fact that I just don't know you. Come on, give God a hand clap. We're in a period and a time where bishops are so far removed from the congregations. No wonder the congregations don't trust the bishops. We're so far removed from you that when the bishop shows up, folk ask me questions like this: where your church?
I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth.
That's the question I get. Where your church? And I say, why you want to know? I want to come hear you preach. I say, go to my website. I'm preaching at a different church every Sunday. I'm your bishop. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? These are Methodist folk, y'all. I'm not talking about the Baptists. I'm talking about Methodist folk who don't even know what a bishop is. How in the world can they trust me, Maxie, when they don't even know what I be? Come on, y'all. And the way I'm going to do that is reorganize the church? No. I'm going down to that little church, to the First Church of Bow and Arrow, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk to each other. I'm going to eat some fried chicken, and then we're going to top it off with some watermelon. Talk to me, somebody. Wow! Bless his holy name. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be different than what we have now. Can I at least speculate? In Mississippi, it's got to be a church that includes black folk and white folk and Hispanic who are worshiping together and praising God. And we got to cast racism right out of the church. Oh, bless God's holy name. Because the world is watching us. We can't talk about being holy and walking slew foot. Lord have mercy. Secondly, and I know this is going to get me in trouble. You're already doing it anyhow. But you got to do this. And pastors, you got to get better at this. What I mean by this, you got to assume a posture of listening to your folk. You got to quit being so defensive because people ask you questions. They're going to ask questions. They question people who lead them today. They don't trust us anymore. That's why they ask the questions. Please. And remember this, everybody who asks the question, they're not against you. They just want to know, do you know the way? Do you know where you're going? Do you have an idea where God is trying to lead us? Now, even though Jesus didn't answer the question, he didn't say, shut up, be quiet, just follow me. Look, when you're going into an unknown country, if you want everybody to follow you, you have to be open to questions. You've got to let folk ask you questions. Let them, because in the questions, Lord, thank you for the revelation, Lord. In the questions might be the answers. And maybe God might can speak through the person who's handling the nursery. Or maybe even the janitor in the church understands the church better than you do. Or see something. So it's nothing wrong with the questions. Oh, God. I'm going to run on. Listen what Jesus said. This is only the beginning. Only the beginning. Sometimes we mistake the beginning or a stopover for the final destination. Sometimes we mistake the beginning or a stopover for the final destination. And the problem with that is we want to pitch permanent tents or to build permanent buildings or memorials that we're going to have to leave behind anyway, because that ain't where God really wants us. God has to carry us through there to get us to the promised land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, because we don't know where we're going, every place along the journey, Jason, is sacred. Every place is, because it's at each one of those places we will be like Jacob. We will discover when we lay our head down, we did not know that God was there. He lay his head down, and he found out when he saw these angels ascending and descending. He said, oh my, this is surely the gateway to heaven, the house of God, and I did not know it. Let me say this to you all. This church needs to understand that folk who rant and rave, people who still believe in divine healing, that we want to cast out our church, folk who want to come and work in the church that you never wanted in the church, maybe that might be God speaking to us. Oh, come on up in here, Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm getting ready to meddle a little bit now. That's why I'm going to walk, because then if I have to run, I can do it. Amen. Listen. You don't discount anybody in your church. You don't know who God is sending up into your church. There's someone may come in the church. There was a man by the name of Ray Pridgen in the second appointment I had. Ray's wife was a faithful member of that church. Ray never came to church. I got a call that Ray had had an aneurysm and was laying at the point of death in the hospital. And so Vivian, when she called me, said, Reverend Swanson, can you just go pray for him? And I went, and I prayed for Ray for 3 or 4 months, just went. And finally, one day, I walked in the hospital, and Ray opened his eyes and looked at me. And I said, Ray, do you know who I am? He said, oh, yeah, you Pastor Swanson. I said, Ray, how you know? He said, you've been coming praying for me every day. He said, I just couldn't say anything, but I knew who you were. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I every day you prayed, I heard your prayer, and I felt it deep down in my heart, and I knew God was with me. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, now I got a question for you, Reverend. I said, what's that? He said, what hinders me from being baptized right now? Oh, my God. I said, right now? You don't want to wait to get to the church? He said, man, the church is here right now. He said, I want to be baptized right now. So I ran outside the hospital room, and I said, any Christians out here? And because I was a Methodist, we have to have witnesses. You know what I'm saying? So I ran out there. Two nurses came, said, we Christians. I said, I don't care whether you're Baptist or whatever. Come on up in here. And they went in the room. They brought me a pan, amen. And I said, now Ray, I can't dunk you, but I'm going to either sprinkle you, I'm going to wet this bed up and pour it on you. He said, whatever you want to do. Yeah, and they stood beside me, and I told them, I baptize you in the name of the Father, water, and the name of the Son, water, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, water. And Ray got up off the bed and went to running for Jesus. Oh, bless God's holy name. Yeah. Oh, listen. This church, Ray went back. The church didn't know how to receive him. Ray was so on fire. He went to Sunday school. And he wanted to know everything about the Bible. And they were afraid of him. He'd ask questions about this, question about that. They were afraid of Ray. Ray would come by my parsonage, tears. Every time I saw him, just crying. I said, Ray, what's wrong? He ain't nothing wrong. He said, I'm just happy. I said, what you happy about, Ray? I know Jesus. You don't understand, Reverend Swanson. For 50-some years of my life, I didn't know him. I know him now in the free pardon of my sins. He said, I was a messed up man, mistreating my family, my wife, and my children, mistreating my own life. I didn't understand that I was a sinner and a wretch undone, and that God had been gracious to let my golden moments roll on. And he said, and now I'm free, set free from sin. I don't have to live like I used to live. Oh, bless the Lord. He scared me right then. Oh, bless the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And they kept on. Bishop moved me. I get a call from Ray. A year later, Ray had to leave the church because the folk were so afraid of Ray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You better be careful what you pray for. You praying for revival in the church? You praying for God to turn the United Methodist Church upside down? Don't you know when something get turned upside down, something gonna fall? Y'all better put your seatbelts on, because some of you might fall out because you don't like where God is going. Well, I don't know about y'all. I'm going to put me 2 seatbelts on because I want to stay in this church so that God, when he blesses, I'm going to be on the front row. And when he says, James Swanson, here, Lord, I'm present and accounted for. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, bless his name. Jesus was clear. Focus and diligence. Focus. Focus. Quit worrying and running here and running there, trying to put out fires that you can't put out. Stay focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Yes, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you look in the light of his glory and grace, and you will see salvation like you have never seen it. You will see deliverance in this church like you have never seen it before. You will see folk get slain in the spirit, and folk who used to curse God will bless God. If we get focused on Jesus, get focused on Jesus, get focused on Jesus and quit being afraid to call the name of Jesus. Come on, give him some praise. Oh, bless his name. 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 Yeah, bless his name. 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 Ah, hallelujah. Bless his name. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes on him. And don't worship the monuments. You worship Jesus. Quit being afraid. I'm not afraid of the future. No, not at all. Whatever comes. Mama taught me a long time ago. He said, God will take care of you. Yes, he will. Y'all don't look like y'all been doing too bad. Come on. God's been taking care of you. I know you upset about a few things. I am too. You'd be surprised what I'm upset about. But I'm never going to give the devil any room to be happy because I'm mad. I'm going to make him mad because I'm happy. Ho! Oh! No! 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 You keep a smile on your face in the midst of this struggle. In the midst of this struggle, don't you despair. You keep a smile on your face because you never know the very person who you think is the enemy may be the person who's just watching you to see whether or not you really mean what you say. You stay focused. Say this with me. Lord, help me to stay focused. No matter what happens around, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Give God a hand clap of praise.